From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. For those who live under oppressive regimes, weapons are the tools of tyrants. Here in the U.S., many gun owners consider weaponry as assurances of equality and defense of individual rights. They cite the Second Amendment, allowance for a well-regulated militia, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Well, we'll leave the dispute over the original intent of that amendment as we explore a new hypothesis, that civilization emerged because of advancements in weaponry, and that access to weapons has gone hand in hand with the development of democracies. Laura Spinney investigated the theory for New Scientist and joins us now on the line from Paris to tell us what she came up with. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Weapons made human beings more civilized. Describe that for us in a little nutshell, if you would.
Well, the central idea here is that our very distant ancestors, like chimps, lived in strict hierarchies, which were dominated by a kind of beefy alpha male, and he kept everyone else in check just by the fact that he was physically stronger than them. And then one day, or probably not one day, but over time, these individuals learned to throw, probably just a simple stone at the beginning. And that was the first lethal weapon, lethal distance weapon. And that meant that they could bring down the alpha male who ruled the roost. Now, anybody could take charge as long as they had a weapon and a reasonably good aim. Physical strength was no longer enough to dominate the rest of the group. And from that point on, everything changed, really, because if you can't rule by physical strength, then you have to develop other techniques for making other people do what you want them to do. That includes cunning, charm, persuasion, and basically all the sort of cognitive attributes that make us human. So that, according to this theory, is what set us on the path to the evolution of higher cognitive abilities and humanity as we know it today.
So, with physical dominance no longer the only requisite for power, we had to form more, attuned societies?
Yeah, we had to live in groups because that's the only way that we could survive on the savannah with all sorts of predators about. And so we had to somehow make this social living work. Chimps, which probably live in similar social, according to a similar social model to our ancient ancestors, do it one way. They do it in a very hierarchical way, where the alpha male controls access, for example, to food and to females. He tells all the subordinates what they can and cannot do. But that doesn't work when you have weapons that can overthrow that alpha male. So we had to be a bit cleverer about living together and making that cooperative living work, making sure that everybody worked together, for example, to go hunting for a very big mammoth or something. You have to get everyone to cooperate and to do that. And how are you going to do that if you can't use strength? You're going to have to use charisma, charm, and all the rest of it.
So how did they then, that theory carry on in the transition from hunter-gatherer societies to farming? How did that shift the social structure?
Well, so one of the really interesting ideas about what makes us human and that is sort of linked to this theory is that unlike chimps and other non-human primates, we have, because of this unique history, we have a very unique tension in us between our desire to live in hierarchical societies and our desire to live in anti-hierarchical societies, so very egalitarian societies like traditional hunter-gatherers from the Stone Age, but also those who still live today, for example, in parts of Africa. And that this tension has gone backwards and forwards basically throughout our history. Now, when farming was invented, that essentially, over time again, put an end to the hunter-gathering lifestyle, at least as the mainstream lifestyle for our hominid ancestors, because it meant that now that you could grow your corn and do whatever you do as a farmer and accumulate wealth. And now, using that accumulated wealth, a new kind of big man, a new kind of alpha male emerged because he could now use that wealth to pay others to protect him and so to build a cabal of subordinates around him who would protect him from the masses with their lethal weapons. And so once again, we veered into a more hierarchical society, but not quite like the chimp society. This one is slightly more sophisticated in the sense that it's not about physical strength anymore. It's about wealth and the power that comes with wealth.
I'm sort of speeding this forward to the age of the mega weapon, right? And mutually assured destruction using nuclear or biological or even cyber weapons. Now, if you're assuming that those who are powerful have these weapons, how does that ownership, that, you know, sort of in the back pocket, make us more civilized?
Well, so one thing that we have today, which hunter-gatherers certainly didn't have and farmers didn't have, is that we've developed this notion of the nation state. So that's our sort of most stable social unit. You may feel that you belong to your town and to your region and to a federation, but the nation is sort of the most stable unit that everybody would initially claim they belong to. You're American, I'm British. It's the most easy label in a way. And these nations so have to find a way to live together harmoniously in the world. And now we have, thanks to technology, these very powerful, terrifying, really, weapons. That's how nations keep each other in check. Rather like the weapons of the old days, except these ones we don't want to use because they would cause too much destruction. But they still have a very strong deterrent power. But that doesn't work within nations because, obviously, a nuclear weapon doesn't give you any particular power of your neighbor, since you can't deploy it, and if you did, you would kill yourself anyway. So that only works at the international level. Within nations, we need a different kind of balance of weapons and democracy, power to the individual.
I'm thinking about the going with this theory that weapons actually catalyze social change and the emergence of civilization. How about something like, you know, this is distance weapons you're speaking about specifically. Where does drone warfare then fit in, when the damage of a weapon can be done thousands of miles away by pushing a button and you don't even see the destruction?
Yeah, I think that is very interesting because obviously when you were throwing a stone, you had to be fairly close to your victim. When you were loading your flintlock musket in the Civil War, you had to be a little bit, you could be a bit further away, but you still had to see your victim. So you saw the damage you were inflicting, and that was a kind of self. But when you, as you say, when you're in a drone, you don't necessarily see your victim. And I think that is, it does put it again to a new level in the sense that you don't know the damage you're inflicting, and that makes it easier to do so. And maybe it's pushing us in a new direction of warfare. But again, we have deterrents on the other side that mean that we don't deploy those too much.
Mm. I'm thinking of the Arab Spring also, where, you know, throwing stones against tanks and organizing using social media became the tools of that.
Well, that's a really interesting example, I think, because, as you say, I mean, the weapons were in many cases very primitive. They were sometimes just stones. People didn't have anything else. But the fact that they were coordinated by social media gave them the advantage because they just had the advantage of numbers. And so even armed with that very simple weapon, they were able to topple governments in some cases.
So social media is the next long-range weapon, Laura?
I don't know if you'd call it a weapon, but combined with weapons, simple weapons even, it makes them much more powerful.
Laura, I want to thank you for joining us. A pretty intriguing article, and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Laura Spinney she's a writer. She wrote about science for New Scientist and a number of different publications. Her article, Force for Change, is about the effect of weapons on civilization, and it was published in New Scientist magazine. We've posted a lot more on the theory at wordofmouthradio.org, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Coming up, a dance group made up of people with Parkinson's prepares for its first live performance. We're going to speak with their teacher and the director and producer who is determined to capture it all on film. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.